We're gonna make it look fly with some DIY. We're gonna make it look fly with some DIY. We're gonna make it look fly with some DIY. Uh-oh, thrift diving.
Hey, what's up? It's Serena Pia from ThriftDiving.com, which is a podcast, a blog, and a YouTube channel that helps you decorate and improve your home and maintain it with paint, power tools, and thrift stores. And of course, here at Thrift Diving, we do not sacrifice... Did I say sacrifice? Sacrifice our budget, the environment, or style. I am removing my earrings as I'm speaking to you because I'm wearing these little cute dangly things. And if you hear... They make this little dangly noise every single time I move my head. So we're going to take them off. Today, my voice is extra rough, or as my friend Laura says, unique, because I am dealing with some sort of allergies going on. And I'll tell you this before we jump into today's episode, where we're going to be talking about upholstery tips for episode 28. But I've got some allergies to something that I've eaten. So whenever I'm pretty sure that it's dairy related. So every time that I eat something that's dairy related, which is not very often because I am a strict vegetarian, I get sneezing. I get extra just nose just feeling itchy. And so, yes, I had some ice cream this week and my nose is itchy. My throat is just extra. It doesn't hurt. No COVID here. But I do notice I get more sneezy and I just feel a little bit more nasally. So I apologize to you. We will make this a short episode because of my voice. But today we're going to talk about upholstery tips. You know, episode 25, when I interviewed Wendy Conklin from Chair Whimsy, man, that episode is exploding over my YouTube channel. And I normally don't take the episodes from the podcast and put them on the YouTube channel, even though I've got video for all the interviews, I have video, but I never really do that because a lot of times I feel like people are not really that interested in looking at a video of me interviewing someone, but it was such an interesting conversation. It's got 98,000 views, which is amazing, but it got me thinking about upholstery and some of the things that she and I talked about. I realized that there was even more that I wanted to go into with upholstery. And I think there's some things, if you are a beginner, there's some things that you have to know about upholstery so that you can have good success when you're making over your chairs, dining room chairs, other furniture that you're reupholstering. So I thought today would be a great opportunity to talk about 10 tips for upholstering your furniture. Now, of course, we're going to be talking. We're not going to be showing you how to do these things, but I think if I can describe them in detail enough that you can get an idea of what I'm talking about. So let's jump into tip number one. And I think this one is something that most people, if you've done any kind of upholstering, you already know this one. But if you're new, you may not know this. Tip number one is to save your old fabric. I have made this mistake where I have upholstered things and I did not save the old fabric. And usually it's because the old fabric is just so ratty and so dirty, I didn't even want to touch it. I didn't want that dirty stuff to even touch the new fabric that I was cutting out. But the thing is that you run into a problem because if you're new to upholstering, you typically need to know what shape and pattern to cut out for the new pattern, for the new fabric. And if you've got the old pattern there, it helps to lay it on top of your fabric and use that as your new pattern. Well, if you had been following my blog, my channel for any length of time, you'll know that I did this amazing wingback chair makeover. It took me, gosh, about a year and a half because I did part of it an upholstery class. And then the other part, I just let it sit for a long time. And then I ended up going back to the class. But when I took that class, the teacher had told me, Serena, I think you should just upholster over top of this chair. I don't think you should take everything off and strip it down to the bare frame. And I said, no, let's just take everything off. So when we took everything off, it was not where we're taking things off gently. I was literally ripping the old fabric off of this chair. The problem with that is, you know, if you do that where you just start cutting the old fabric and ripping it, you don't have a pattern now. And I think that if I had saved the pieces that I cut off, if I had gently removed it, then I would have had a better idea of how to put it back together. So that is my first tip to you, is when you are breaking down the chair or the stool or whatever it is that you're reupholstering, be very careful with how you remove it. There may be some tacks, some staples that are hard to get out, especially if it's an old wood. And I mean, sometimes those furniture nails and the tacks and the staples, they get buried in there. And if you can't get them out, sometimes you just want to rip it out. Ask me how I know, because I will rip out a piece of fabric. And then later I'm like, wait a minute, what size was this again? I don't really understand how to get this back together. So very carefully remove all of the staples, salvage as much as you can of this old fabric. And I would even say if the fabric is super dirty and you really just don't want to touch it, wear gloves, but try to save it if you can. Try to preserve it and don't get frustrated and rip it off. And I will also tell you too, in this tip, I would actually cut it just a little bit bigger, because what I found is that if you cut it the exact same size, it may not go on there exactly as the other piece did. And the reason why, I don't really know the reason why. I just know that in the chair makeover that I did with those beautiful purple velvet chairs, I actually had cut one of the pieces exactly the size that came off of the back, and it didn't fit. It was too short. I could not get it on there. So something happened. So what I would say is maybe even just cut your pattern just about maybe half your new piece, about half an inch bigger. And if you need to trim away, that's fine. But it gives you a little bit more wiggle room when you're trying to get that fabric onto your piece of furniture. So that's the first tip. Definitely save your old fabric and cut it slightly bigger, even if just a quarter of an inch, it makes a big difference. So the second tip, this is something that I learned in the upholstery class, and it was so amazing. It's hard to do with heavier fabrics, but let's say you love doing projects like curtains and things that have a woven pattern that you can easily see the fibers. There's this tip that my upholstery teacher taught me, and once I learned it, that's all I do now when I'm cutting fabric. Okay, so just imagine this, right? So you have this fabric that you're going to use for upholstery, or maybe you're going to make curtains or something. One problem that I have, and you probably have this, is trying to get a nice straight cut. A lot of times you're trying to line it up. Maybe you've got a yardstick or something on that fabric and you're trying to get a 90 degree cut, and it doesn't always work. Here's what you do. You know, you've got your selvage lines or your selvage edge, right? So when they unroll the wrap of fabric on that big bolt, you've got your edge to the left and your edge to the right. And usually it's a woven fabric, right? Fabric is woven. So if you cut into that selvage right on the side, just a little cut, let's say maybe about an inch. And I'm going to actually leave a link down below where you can see me doing this, because I made a really beautiful shower curtain for myself. And in that video, I actually showed you how to do this, and it's amazing. So what you do is make a little cut, maybe about an inch into that selvaged edge. And as you start to pull the fabric apart, you start seeing some of the little threads unravel. If you grab one of those threads and you gently pull, just think of like a pair of pantyhose, right? Nobody really wears pantyhose anymore. And if you do, I would love to hear from you, because I don't know anyone that wears pantyhose anymore. But it's sort of like a run in the pantyhose. If you take that little thread that you just unlocked from that cut and you kind of pull it a little bit, you'll start seeing that snag go all the way across your fabric. And as you're pulling, you're literally creating a line. You're going to get a nice straight cut. This is something that is amazing, because a lot of times when you're trying to cut your fabric, you just don't know where to cut. And then you think you've cut a 90 degrees, just need a 16 by 16 square. And what happens is that you end up having one side that's more lopsided than the other. So this is a great tip for being able to get even cuts. Now, the thing is, it doesn't work too well on thicker fabrics. So you just have to play around. I know that we did do this on thick, heavy velvet fabric. So it can work, but you just have to play around with it. But as you're pulling, you know, very gently, those threads will start to create a snag, or you'll see it start to run across your fabric. And that is your cut line. So that's tip number two. And again, I will leave a link down below. Click the link and you will see how I did that in one of my videos where I made the shower curtain. So tip number three is to always, well, let's actually mix these up. I have them written down here, but I'm going to mix these up here, is to always find the center of your fabric and always find the center of whatever it is that you're upholstering. This actually relates to the next tip, and I'm going to give these together. So that's the third tip, but I'm going to tell you tip number four, because these two are related, is to always staple in the middle and pull towards the ends. Okay, so let's imagine that you are reupholstering a dining room chair, right? That chair is sitting in front of you, you're looking at the edge of the chair, and you've got this gorgeous fabric in your hand. Where do you know how to place that fabric? What I'm talking about is making sure that center lines up with the center of your fabric, and that's going to help with your placement. So now I say the center of that fabric, again, it could be a motif, but whatever it is that you want to land right there at that center needs to be lined up with the center of that fabric. Now, what we did in this upholstery class is just imagine we've got this chair. My fabric is, let's say, let's use even numbers, 20 by 20 square. I'm going to take that fabric and I'm going to fold it in half. So my midpoint is at 10 inches, right? It's a 20 inch piece of fabric. It's a 20 inch square. So I'm going to fold it in half and I'm going to just take my scissors and do a little notch, right? So you just sort of cut it at a slant. And when you open it up, right there at the 10 inch mark is going to be a V. All right. So in sewing, if you've never sewn before, this is the way a lot of seamstress will mark, and also upholsterers as well. This is how they'll mark notches in their fabric, because a lot of times when you're sewing, you might have to have, well, if you've ever worked with patterns, you know that you've got this notch that has to match up with this notch of the pattern. And it's, yeah, it can be kind of complicated. But basically what you do is you notch the fabric. You're literally cutting a V out of the edge of the fabric. And that's what we did when we did the chair makeover. The upholsterer teacher, he said, look, you know, it's very important that you find the center of your fabric and have that be the center of wherever you're upholstering. So if your chair, let's say you've got 20 by 20 and your chair is 18 inches wide, right? So let's just say you have an inch on each side. That 10 inch mark is going to line up with the center of that chair, which is going to be 9, right? So hopefully, don't let the numbers confuse you, but if you remember, measure the chair, find the center, put a little mark, take your fabric, fold it in half, make sure you do a little notch, you'll make sure that those two line up. And what you'll do is you will actually shoot one, just one, not two or three, don't go crazy on it, but just one staple into that fabric, into that wood, because that is where you start from. And when you start from the center and work your way out, that means your fabric is not shifting. And this may not be as important if you're using a solid color fabric, but just imagine if you are doing a chair makeover and you've got a really beautiful motif that needs to be in the center of the chair, or if you're doing checkers or stripes or anything like that. And when you start pulling out, it's going to keep that fabric exactly where it needs to be, and you won't get that shifting around, and your corners will look pretty good. Give that a try. It worked for me when I learned this in the upholstery class. I didn't realize how important that was until I actually started doing the velvet chairs. And I thought, wait a minute, that's right. I'm supposed to staple here in the middle and then pulling out to the sides. And you can see, I will leave a link down below where you can see that I'm pulling out, and it just created a nice, beautiful edge. And there was no shifting of the fabric. These chairs that I was doing, there was buttons. I think there was like maybe 9 different buttons, right? So it was like a tufted chair, 2 dining room chairs. And if I had started from the corner and started working my way out, I mean, it would have looked horrible because all the buttons would have been pulled to one side. It just would not have looked good. So by securing that center, I was able to keep that, hold that in place, and then work the corners. So that is number 3 and number 4 tip. The next tip, you have to get a quiet compressor, but that's not the tip that I'm going to tell you. The tip I'm going to tell you is that when you're using a pneumatic stapler, and yes, you should be using a pneumatic stapler, look for one that has, and I don't know the name of it, but the very tip that the staples come out of, you want to make sure that that tip can get really close to the edge. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because there are some pneumatic staplers, upholstery staplers, that do not have the ability to get very close to the edge. And what happens is that when you're trying to attach, like, trying to think, like the chair that I did, I had some cording, right? Like some piping that I had done around you know, the edge of the chair, whatever. Well, I couldn't get very close to the edge if I was using my other stapler because I don't know why, just the way that it was designed. So look at the edge where the staples come out and make sure that it gets really close. Now, the one that I bought is not even available anymore. It's like a Numax. The brand is called Numax. I bought it 2017. It's no longer available, but it works extremely well. I will leave a link down below and you can at least see. Maybe I'll try to find one that's comparable for you. But I have used some pneumatic staplers that just don't really perform as well as others. So definitely use one that allows you to get very close to the edge because there's sometimes a lot of fine detail that goes into upholstering that if you're using one that's just a little bit more rough, that's just a little bit more, you know, like can't quite get to the edge of this area I'm trying to upholster, it doesn't work very well. So I will leave a link down below to a replacement that I think will work for your projects. Okay, step number six, this is very important, and this kind of relates to taking off or breaking down the chair and reusing the pattern pieces, but I want you to take pictures of how you're taking this chair apart, because when I took my upholstery class, I just wanted to jump into the wingback chair makeover. I didn't want to save anything. I just wanted to strip everything down because the chair, it smelled, it was nasty looking. I just wanted to strip everything away. And the teacher, he kind of reined me back in a little bit and said, you know, you have to look at your chair and see what was applied first, second, third, and so on, because how you take the chair apart is how you're going to put it back together again. And if you're not paying attention or taking pictures or videos, you're not going to know what to do first, second, or third. So as you're taking your chair apart, that is how you're going to put it back together. But a clue, and this is what he told me, a clue is if you look at your chair and if you see if there's any overlapping parts, right? Like let's say your chair has something, and I'm assuming it's a chair, maybe it's a stool or a sofa or something. There's fabric that's overlapping other fabric. Well, that was put on last. Well, I'm going to say last, but let's say that was put on last. Like, let's take a dining room chair, for example. When you turn it over, you may have some sort of fabric on the bottom, right? That's usually to conceal all the stuff that's going on underneath. Well, that was put on last, and that's the first thing that you're going to take off. You're going to use your staple remover, and you're going to remove that dusting cover in order to get to the inner workings of the chair and to get to the fabric so you can remove that as well. So that's the first thing that you remove. And when you put your chair back together, that's going to be the last thing that you put back on. So take a note as you're writing down the steps. Write down, what did I take off first? What did I take off second? What did I take off third? Take lots of pictures, lots of videos, and then do the reverse of that when it's time to start putting the chair back together. That'll give you a clue. So with my wingback chair, for example, when everything was removed, some of the first things that we did was, I believe we did we do the arms first? Yeah, like I'm even just having a hard time remembering because there were so many parts to that chair. But the back was done before the wings. And then I believe the seat was done. Was the seat done before the arms? Gosh, see, I should have prepared for this. I don't even remember. But there was a rhyme and a reason to join it that way because certain parts would overlap other parts. So make sure that you're paying attention to your chair, your project, before you just dig into it. So that is step number six, not step, but tip number six. And tip number seven, when you're reupholstering, a lot of times you're pulling tight. Remember, you're starting at that center with that center staple and you're pulling tight to the corners. But how do you know whether or not you've pulled tight enough? You don't really know just by looking at it. So you got to do a pinch test. So when you, let's say you apply the staples, you've done the left, you've done the right, maybe you've done, you know, a dining room chair and all four corners have been done. What you should do next is take your fingers, you know, just like you're pinching, and see if you can pinch some of that fabric. If you can pinch that fabric, then that means your fabric is not tight enough. You need to go back to the sides, let it out a little bit. Maybe you have to let it out on both sides and you need to pull it a little bit tighter. And then that will hopefully be able to give you not an opportunity to pinch any of that fabric. Now, if you're pinching a lot of fabric, that means you got a lot of stapling that you have to do. So as you work through your stapling to the corners, I would pinch as you go. Like if you do the entire, let's say, dining room chair seat, And then you're pinging at the end and you're like, oh yeah, this isn't, now you got to go back and remove a lot of that. So you're doing a lot of rework. So I would try to pinch as you go. So if you're starting from that center and you're working one corner, that little bit of area, see if you can pinch it. And if you can't pinch it, you know that that corner's good. Now you can go to the next corner, pull that side, try to pinch. Nope, looks good. Okay, I'm going to staple this in place. So pinch test, very, very important. When my teacher was looking at my chair, some parts I passed, some parts I failed. But if you can always operate with that understanding in your mind that I should not be able to pinch this fabric, that'll give you a good sense of, am I doing this right? Or do I need to go back and remove some of these staples and make this a little tighter? So that is tip number 7. All right, tip number 8. I'm going to tell you, if you are doing a project that has buttons, I would highly recommend that you find a professional upholsterer, because there are upholsterers out there that have these amazing machines. I don't think they're very expensive, but if you're not doing upholstery all the time, you probably don't want to go and buy your own. But it's like a button cutter, and have your buttons professionally done. When I did my chairs, the 2 velvet dining room chairs, I actually had gone to the craft store and I was going to buy those little makeshift button cover thingies. I know you've seen them. They're with the notions, and all you have to do is cut a little piece of fabric and push the button through. Well, that's okay. It works. But let me tell you, when you go and get professional buttons from an upholsterer, whoa, they look so good. And I want to say it was maybe $1 or $2 per button, I think. So it can get expensive if you have a lot of buttons, but it looks good. So take some of your extra fabric to the upholsterer and have them do the buttons. And then you just do the project yourself. That's what I did. And I think it looked fantastic. That's tip number 8. No, was that 7? No, that was 8. I'm losing track of my tips here. Tip number 9 is, it's okay to use tack strips. Some projects, some dining room chairs, and actually some, I would say some sofas too, have decorative furniture tacks. These, I'm going to be honest with you, are very, very difficult to apply. I've done a few chairs myself. I think one of the chairs, there was like 400 tacks. I did not use tack strip. I did them all manually. Some of them were a little closer than others. And one of the tips I found that's pretty helpful, if you're not using a tack strip, is to use a little piece of cardboard and measure out how far apart you want your tacks to be. And I think if you measure, let's say, 1/2 inch from center of tack to center of tack, that's usually a pretty good gauge of where they should be placed. That actually helps. So if you just take a piece of cardboard and just snip 1/2 inch, 1/2 inch, 1/2 inch, all along the strip of cardboard, you can use that as a template to apply your tacks. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to go in evenly all the time, so you may have to rip some of them out and reapply them. But if you order a big batch of them, you can get them on Amazon or whatever, that's not too bad, because if you have to, you know, ruin some of them, take some of them out because they got twisted up, that's okay. But, you know, you can also use tack strips. And personally, I mean, I've never used them before, but people swear by them and there's no measuring. You're literally just tacking them into place, running them along the edge of wherever you're applying them, and it still looks good. So don't feel that you have to use regular tacks, use the tack strip. So that is my tip. Use the tack strip, but if you're doing the individual tacks, definitely use a little template. And I will leave a link down below to those 2 purple chairs that I did, and you can see what I used and how I did it. And the last tip, you have to snip around the legs and around the openings in order to get a good fit. And this is, I think, in my opinion, the key to an amazing upholsterer, because they know exactly how to fit fabric. I mean, they're pulling, of course. I'm like, gosh, they got pretty good grips too. They're pulling, but they know where to place that. And I really think that that comes with experience, right? Like as you're pulling, let's say you're fitting fabric around a chair leg, you know, you've got to pull that fabric and you have to know exactly where to snip it in order, and then tuck it in order to get good results. So what I would tell you, and it's kind of hard to explain this over, you know, a podcast without actually demonstrating, but what I would tell you is to get into the habit of pull and then snip, right? Now, remember when we were doing the wingback chair makeover, you know, as we're doing the seat, that fabric needed to come down through the seat to be attached and stapled to the bottom of the chair. And of course, it has to be no excess fabric. So it's got to be nice and tight and taut. I remember just being so confused. I'm like, where are you snipping here? Because you're doing this amazingly well to get around these legs. And I'm not quite figuring it out. So if you're a beginner, just understand that this takes practice. It takes practice. These professionals know exactly where to snip, how to snip. They're cutting V's and things. And when they pull that fabric tight, they're stapling it and there's no excess. They're pinching it. There's no excess and it looks good. But just remember, whenever you're trying to fit fabric around legs or fitting it through the chair, the cushions, in order to staple it to the bottom, pull as tight as you can and then snip. But, you know, snip carefully. Don't snip too much because if you ruin it, you got to take it out and do it all again. So just be very conservative with your snips, but just know that you're going to have to snip in order to fit this fabric around the chair. So pull tight and then snip very carefully. That's my tip for you. So those are 10 tips that I hope are helpful. If you are new to upholstering, you want to get started, you're not sure, you know, how to get started. I believe I actually did a previous podcast episode. I will leave a link down below where you can check that out on getting started with painting and upholstering your first piece of furniture. But these are just more tips that as you're in that project, what are some of the things that the professionals do? And I do not in any way consider myself to be a professional upholsterer. I'm not. I've done several projects. I've learned from a really great instructor, which hopefully if this COVID can ever die down, I can start taking some more upholstery classes with him because he's amazing. Shout out to you, Michael. All right. So if you guys have any questions about anything, definitely email me, serena@thriftdiving.com. I am going to put a blog post together for this, and I will leave a link down below so you can look at specific examples of what I'm talking about as you are going about your own reupholstering adventures. Come back next week. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about next week. Actually, no, I'm lying because I made a schedule. Can you believe that? I actually made a schedule. Okay, next week, we're actually going to be talking about how to create landscape beds. I know for many parts of the country, it is super hot. Nobody wants to be outside doing anything. It's going to be crazy hot here in Maryland this week. But I want to talk about how you actually plan out and create a landscape bed. I've done several of them. I've made some mistakes along the way. So I have some experience in what not to do. And I think if you are ready to put in some landscape beds around your home, I've got some tips for you on how to do it. Maybe I might even have a guest next week. We'll see. All right, guys, this is Serena from Thrift Diving. Be sure to find me on Instagram. You can find me at Thrift Diving. I'm on YouTube. Look up Thrift Diving. And I will see you next episode.